Indeed, glory to our King. All right, at this time we want to go to prayer, and normally we would receive our tithes and offerings at this time, but you can give in the plates on your way out today, or if you're watching online, you can give there. On Facebook, you can click the donate button. On our church website, you can you can click the give today button, and we appreciate your faithfulness in giving through this season. But as we go to prayer, of course, we're praying for our world as the vaccines are now being handed out in various parts of the world. We hope that they are effective, and let's all continue to wash our hands very thoroughly to avoid unnecessary trips out in public, to wear our masks and keep our distance, and hopefully this will be in our rearview mirror before too much longer. But we're grateful for God's grace that has sustained us, but we pray for his mercy in delivering a complete victory over this virus. We pray for our nation. We pray for the people of Nashville who have suffered this tragedy over the weekend. We're grateful for police officers who bravely got people out of harm's way, and we're grateful it wasn't worse, but we pray for them as they move forward. And let's pray for those in our church family who have prayer needs. Will just informed me before the service that his brother did get to go home just before the holidays, so we're grateful for that. Give thanks. Thanks to all of you who prayed for him. We're praying for Ellen's dad, and she's going to travel to be with him this week, so pray for that time that they will have together. We're praying for others with procedures coming up. And let's just pray that our discipleship will reflect the wonderful things that God has done for us in our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace once again this morning, and our hearts are full as we've been celebrating all week long the arrival of Jesus. And we're going to continue to celebrate all through the 12 days of Christmas, and we're with our lives every day. May we show that we are people who've been touched by this kind of love, a God who so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. And in his arrival, he signaled that everything was about to change. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we humble ourselves before you because we know it was at great cost that Jesus came, showed us your love, and laid down his life. And we also celebrate this morning because that power now lives in all of us who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord and who are living faithfully as members of the kingdom of God, the church worldwide. And we pray that we will have our eyes on loving you above all else and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And Father, as we pray for our neighbors and our nation and our world, we ask continually, Lord, for your touch on all who are suffering from this terrible disease. We pray for the frontline workers. We're thankful that many of them have now received the vaccine. Several friends of mine got it over the weekend. I'm just thankful, Lord, for how you are enabling them to continually serve those who are very sick and dying. Be with all of our hospital workers nearby here as well. May we remember to pray for them always. We hope that the vaccine will help us to be delivered from this disease, Lord, and help us to all do our part, help leaders to give us good and wise counsel, and help us to follow it. And we pray that quickly we will overcome this challenge. And then we pray, Lord, for others who are sick and in need of your touch. Minister to them, Lord, and have strength return to their bodies, whether they're battling cancer, whether they're battling infections, whether they have nagging health problems that are chronic. Lord, just be their healer and be present to them in their time of need. And Father, we pray for our nation as a whole, that we will be unified again, that we will see ourselves as one, under God and indivisible. And I pray that we as your people, Lord, will do what we need to do to help things improve in our world. And now, Lord, we pray for our church that you'll help us to reflect your light in our world. Help us to be devoted disciples who are continually in fellowship with you, that we would walk in the light and therefore have fellowship with you and know that we are cleansed in your sight, Lord, and we are living pure lives, lives that can make a difference in our world. And help us now as worship continues today. May we hear from you, Lord. Our hearts are hungry for more of you. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Okay, at this time, let's turn our attention to God's word once again. And we'll be in Luke chapter 2. Now, this is a long chapter in the Bible. And there was a point in my college career where I didn't realize that, and it might have been good if I did, because everyone was signing up for an assignment where we were going to have to go through verse by verse and find all the key Greek words, translate them, and talk about what that passage was about. And I thought, now Luke 2, that's the story of Jesus. Why has no one signed up for that chapter? So I just quickly put my name on the line there. And then I found it had 52 verses, and my paper was going to be twice as long as everybody else. I thought, oh, man. But I'm so glad that I did, because there are beautiful stories here that I had forgotten about, and I have never forgotten since I studied them so closely at that time. So we'll be in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Let's stand in honor of God's word. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. You may be seated. So here in this story, we have the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And incredible things have just happened to them. They've heard reports of angels visiting. They've had shepherds come. They've been informed and reminded once again that this child that they are now responsible for is the Savior of the world. But you know what it's like after you've had a large celebration or many people have been around and it's been an emotional event. Then when everyone goes home, there's just sort of this downtime, right? And you may just feel a bit of emptiness in the wake of events like that. And I suppose with events like this, on this scale, and talking about things so amazing, and you're looking at yourself, and you're looking at your partner there, and you're looking at this little baby, and you might begin to wonder, is that really true, us? But yet, here they are, one of the most important little families that ever existed, but a symbol that every family can possibly change the world. So you have this holy family. Now, after these events have happened, and now time is beginning to pass, and we are moving into special moments. And throughout this entire passage, time is a major, major theme. Now, Greek is the original written language of the New Testament. And in Greek, there are two interesting words for time. Now, these can help us understand better how we experience life, a couple different ways that we do, and also how God goes to work within time and even beyond time. So the first example we see in the book of Galatians, Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Now this is the word chronos, and it measures the passing of time in particular moments. So today, a stopwatch, if you have one, can also be called a chronograph, right? And that's from this idea of time. It lets you measure time with precision. You're very aware of the passing of each tiny measure. Right at the Olympics, they're measuring out to like the thousandths of a second now, maybe even more, to determine the winner. All right, so that's one concept of time in the Bible. Another one is found in Ephesians. Ephesians 1:10 says, "To be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." So this kind of time reaches deeply inside a particular moment, and it seeks to unpack everything that that moment means and everything that's going on. This is kind of like slow motion video, right? In a football game, maybe the Bears can beat a team that's only won one game later on today. But in a football game, they go over it in slow motion so they can see everything that happened. They may not have noticed everything at regular speed. Well, that's sort of like what's happening here, looking deeply into a moment to become aware. And it seems like time slows down, because this is a special kind of moment. Now, there was a Timex commercial back in the late 80s. How many of you are old enough to have been around back then? Don't raise your hand, that's all right. But it features a rather hideous woman, shall we say, obviously being played by a male actor. But anyway, now this person, it's the old joke about a woman being so ugly that she cracked her mirror. That's the basis of this commercial. Do you remember this commercial? So this lady, who's obviously a middle-aged man, but anyway, it takes that idea, it goes to the extreme. And wherever this beauty goes, like at the beginning of it, she goes and she looks at her mirror, and of course it cracks right down the middle. And then she leaves the house and she goes to get on the bus. And as she gets on the bus, all the windows of the bus just explode out, the glass. And then she's heading downtown. We don't know where. We don't know why. She walks into this shop, and as she's walking in, we notice it's a jewelry-type shop, and all of the windows and the displays are just exploding everywhere. Everything destroyed except one display. And guess what was inside this display? Timex watches. Because they take a licking and keep on ticking, right? So that's the idea of chronos. It's the tick, tick, tick of the clock, as each second goes by. And that's how we think of time these days, most of the time. Tick, tick, tick. Minutes, hours, days. We watch the time with precision. We try to make the most of it, but we feel it slipping away from us. Another way to imagine it is to let your mind go back to the circus, right? Now, if you're afraid of clowns, don't think about them right now. But at the circus, remember the trapeze artist? Now, they are amazing to me, the risks that they take and all that they do. When I was in Russia and saw the circus there in Moscow, they worked without a net. It was just amazing. Someone is beautifully ice skating around, and then a cable came down and lifted them up, and then she began to do trapeze stuff in ice skates. I just, no thank you. But if you think about someone on the trapeze, at first they're swinging back and forth, right? Like a pendulum. So just sort of picture them doing that here. And that's the moments going back and forth. You're getting very sleepy. No, just kidding. As they're swinging back and forth, now suddenly another trapeze artist may join in. And now they're both swinging. And at first they're kind of out of sync, but eventually they're in sync together. And again, both marking the moments. And now they do something crazy where one of them lets go, right? Let's go of that perfectly good swing that was holding them up just fine, and now they've let go, and wow, what's going to happen now? Well, they're spinning through the air, right? And we hope they've practiced this a lot, right? We're hoping that everyone's feeling great today and that we're going to witness something cool. But we don't know what's going to happen, right? So we lean forward in our seats just a bit. Now, this is a moment that we are paying very close attention to. Everything needs to go right for this moment to be what it was meant to be. And they reach out their hands, and at that moment, they grab each other's hands. And now, time goes back to what it was. But for those few seconds, it may seem like 5 minutes before they actually connect again. But in a moment like that, everything matters. There's no room for error. And all the moments that led up to that moment are riding on this moment. If this moment doesn't go well, then the other moments will lose some of their significance. If everything goes well, then all the moments to come will be filled with relief and joy and wonder. So this is an example of the two different ways to think about and picture time. But this is a Kairos moment. For Mary and Joseph, for sure. And it is for Jesus, and for Anna, and for Simeon. So first, let's take a look at Simeon, verses 25 through 27. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout." So we know that much about him. "He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Okay, so these are the actions that Simeon took that set up his part of these important moments. It says there that he was waiting. Now, in the season of Advent, we spent several weeks waiting for Christmas. But we also reminded ourselves that we are waiting for Jesus to return and fully establish his kingdom. Now, unlike some of us, Simeon was good at waiting. Are you good at waiting? Some of you good at waiting? Well, the word here means waiting, but in the sense of looking forward to something. So waiting with anticipation, that's a good kind of waiting. Fully expecting something important and good to happen. Well, he was waiting for Jesus to come the first time. He wasn't a zealot who tried to shape his time. He wasn't trying to kill Roman soldiers or participate in a coup. He wasn't using Twitter to express angry thoughts. He was praying. and he was waiting. He was trusting God to move in God's time, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to work deeply in his life. And then he followed the Spirit's leading on the regular, as they say. So it was his habit to do what the Spirit prompted him to do. Because, folks, we can have been touched by the Spirit. We can have been filled with the Spirit at one moment in our lives. But if we don't learn how to live in sync with the Spirit, then we will struggle, right? And we will not experience all the blessings that the Holy Spirit has longed to bring into our lives. So there's an interesting phrase here also that says, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So this word consolation, in the original, it's parakleison, all right? The reason that's significant is it's similar to the word paraclete. And that's the name that John's gospel gives to the Holy Spirit, the comforter or the counselor. So the Holy Spirit was no doubt a comfort to him as he waited with anticipation for the full-scale comfort of God's arrival on the scene in the life of the one true Messiah. The Spirit told him that he would not die before seeing him arrive. So Simeon was a bit like Elisha, who didn't leave Elijah's side. He didn't want to miss that moment when the blessing was going to pass to him. So when the Spirit led, Simeon dropped everything and he went. Now, what was he doing at that moment? The Bible doesn't tell us, but my mind wanders there. Was it something ordinary? Was he down at the shops running errands? Whatever it was, it suddenly became secondary to him. And the only thing that mattered was what the Spirit was prompting. Did he drop his bag? Did he press quickly through the crowd? I wish I could have seen it with my own eyes when he sensed what God was leading him to. And then he moved quickly into action. As this now elderly man made his way to the moment he had been living for a very long time. Verse 28 picks up the action. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised," powerful words, "you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Powerful words to this fragile couple. Words, first of all, of reassurance that God was, yes, at work in their lives. Words of calling, for this was no ordinary child, and salvation was in the balance. And words of warning that this would not be an easy path. And life is rarely an easy path. But to continue trusting God just as they have done up to this moment. Imagine if Simeon had given up. That's what a lot of people do. What if he had lost his faith? He said, "Look, I've waited 30 years. How long do you expect me to wait?" But he didn't give up. Amen? Now, what if he had simply delayed obedience that day? "Okay, Lord, but let me finish what I'm doing here." But he didn't question. And he realized it wasn't just about him. The Holy Family heard what they needed to hear that day. And you and I get reminded to hang on, to trust God in trying times, and to live in the moment as God leads us. Good things happened because Simeon moved when prompted, and good things will happen for us as we follow as well. Well, if the story ended right there, it's amazing, right? It's already incredible. But there's just one more thing, one more faithful person in the right place at the right time. And her name was Anna. And again, I'm so glad she's part of this story. I'm so glad we remember her. It says in verse 36, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Did you see her sense of timing there also? Coming up to them at that very hour is what it literally says. Again, this is Kronos colliding with Kairos. A very precise moment, but also full of meaning that will impact all moments to come afterwards. She too was very good at waiting. She'd been praying and fasting at the temple since her husband died after a brief marriage. And over the years, I wonder how many people just walked right past her and thought she was odd. But she didn't care. She let the fullness of the presence of God fill the emptiness in her heart. And she too was longing for God to move in her lifetime. She hadn't lost her touch. She too was right on time. So even older ladies, seemingly forgotten by the world, get a major role in the story of God saving the world. Isn't that wonderful? God is good. She was a prophet, right? And so she spoke under God's spirit. She did the only thing that's right and good in moments such as this. She first of all gave thanks. Her heart was full, and I'm sure her eyes were a little moist that day. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph's hearts were pounding as they received these words about their child, for all who looked forward to the redemption of Israel. So Israel would not just be comforted. Jerusalem, that great city of God, would also be redeemed, pulled back from the brink of destruction, set free to live for God, forgiven and restored. God would ultimately pull the full potential out of his people and all the people who look to the Lord. So God works. Maybe it's a bit like a gift card, right? Did you get some of those for Christmas? You could look at it and you could say, what's this funny little piece of plastic, right? If you were from another time and you looked at a gift card, you'd think, what is this? Maybe, I don't know, could I jimmy something open with this? What good is it? But it's like that. It's like God looks at a very ordinary situation and God knows the value that is stored up within. God has the code to unlock its true value. The value of God's people, the value of every person who is willing to be redeemed. Amen? So speaking of redemption, back in Galatians 4:4, it said, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So we're back to a specific moment arriving. So understand that we should pay attention to the moments of our lives. Now, the Messiah isn't going to arrive as a baby ever again. But what possibilities are stored up in the moments of our lives? I'm going to ask that question again. What possibilities are stored up in the moments of our lives? The possibilities that only our connection with God can unlock and fully redeem. Are there things you've been praying for a very long time? Are there people in your life who need to be redeemed? Are there lives that need to be restored? Does your family need the Holy Spirit to breathe new life? Then ask yourself, am I still waiting with anticipation for God to work? Can I be like Simeon? Will I have the praying tenacity of Anna? By the grace of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can if we don't give up. Ephesians 5:16 says the following, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we shouldn't expect life to be shiny and perfect all the time. That's part of why God has placed us here in this moment, to redeem the time, to make the most of every opportunity, other translations say, to hang in there with the passing moments so we don't miss the special moments that make new things possible. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm so glad that Mary and Joseph were there at the temple bringing their child to present to the Lord, knowing that they needed God's help if they had any chance of getting this right. Verse 39 shows what happened. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Everyone in this story, everyone was in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. And as a result, oh, so many good things happened. So let's redeem our moments. No more ordinary moments. Let's believe it's worth waiting through the tick, tick, tick of Chronos to get to the oh, wow of Kairos. When God breaks through, and it's been so worth the wait. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what this season of waiting has taught us. And now in a time when the whole world is waiting for us to be delivered from this crisis, may we be aware of a deeper crisis in all of our lives. For whether we live or die, Lord, our lives and the meaning of our lives are hanging in the balance. And we need to be redeemed. And many of us may need to be consoled for all that we've gone through. But you are that kind of God who brings consolation and redemption. May we come to the end of ourselves and realize we're not controlling the flow of time. We're not controlling the moments. We can have digital watches and computers and all of these things, but still, time marches on and circumstances come into our life. Lord, we need each other, but we need you. We need your grace and your mercy. And because of the broken places in our lives, because we have sinned and done wrong, we need your forgiveness. But we need you, Lord, to pull it all together, to do that thing that really I think is your specialty, working all things together for good. And it also tells us in your word that you are making all things new. I pray that we'll realize that that work is going on moment by moment. And as we're surrendered to you and being led by your Spirit, then as these moments flow, your plan unfolds. So this morning, I pray for any person this morning that's really deeply locked in that time of waiting and longing and praying, wanting to see change, needing to see consolation, needing to see redemption in their lives, needing the Holy Spirit to breathe new life into their family. Father, I pray right now in this moment, you'll give them the strength to hang on and to be faithful. Let us picture Simeon and Anna across all those years, and may they be our inspiration. And Father, may we be waiting with anticipation, and may we be living with a vision of what you're going to do. And Lord, we're thankful in a time like this that we can turn to a God like you. And so reassure us deeply. Challenge us, Lord, to live in this way, but let us see that through the Holy Spirit, it's very possible. And thank you again for this story. May it continue to be written, and may we be written into that unfolding story of your incredible plan. Lord, break through, we pray, and help us not to miss it. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand together. Let's declare our faith. As 1 year is coming to a close and we think about the beginning of something new, let's be reminded of what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go in the grace of God. Live into each moment as God leads. In Jesus' name, amen.